The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
On the road again, indeed. Over the years, I've undoubtedly gone to more live music shows and festivals than most people, I suppose. But for a lot of the time, like everybody else, I just concentrate on the gigs themselves and not necessarily on all the work, all the good, hard work that goes into putting them on beforehand and afterwards as well, the get in and the get out, etc. Anyway, whether we realise it or not, there's a load of people behind the scenes that make all the gigs happen. And some of these, like my next guests here, travel the world, producing shows and managing tours. Welcome to the programme, Paddy McPoland and Sue. Susie Shorten.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning
to you too. Now, I'll start with you then, Paddy. What kind of bands have you toured with? In fact, both of you, what kind of bands have you toured with?
Well, in the last sort of decade, from Clannad, Sinead O'Connor, Imelda May, James Vincent McMorrow, and currently for the last 2 years, the High Kings.
Right, and what about you, Susie?
Me, I've done worked with the Kaiser Chiefs, would have been one of my first bands that I started with, and I moved on with Wolf Mother for a little while. And Florence and the Machine, Arcade Fire, people like that abroad. I worked at home for quite a long time.
And by the way, the Florence and the Machine business, will you be now like looking after her at Electric Picnic the weekend after this?
No, she's in a new group. I had a baby girl called Camille 2 years ago, so I've taken a little step back from the road. It's hard to tour with children.
Right.
So we're at home with them, but I'll see them at Electric Picnic.
Yeah, and then the O3 Arena a few days later.
I'll see them and catch up and say hi to everyone. Yeah.
Okay, the amount of people that would want to be doing the gig that you're doing is the list is as long as the queue at the ATM machine on a Sunday morning at 3 days into the Electric Picnic, which is very long. Is it as glamorous as it sounds, Patrick?
Okay, glamour. I'll just go through the last 48 to 60 hours with you. Last Sunday afternoon, the High Kings performed a festival show in Buffalo, upstate New York. We got to the hotel after tea, bite to eat, bed early, up at 4 a.m. on Monday morning, drove 9 hours down the I-90 West to Chicago, to O'Hare Airport, checked in for our Aer Lingus flight, and flew home, arriving home at 5:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And that would be typical for the day one or the last day
of any tour. He wouldn't have it any other way, as far as I remember, Paddy McPoland.
Absolutely.
By the way, when you say drive all those hours, were you at the wheel?
No. Right. The crew were at the wheel, but yeah. Still, I mean, it's very, very... let's just say it takes its toll, I mean, on the road.
Okay, production manager, tour manager, tour coordinator and all the rest, like all the different names and titles. Your title is exactly what?
It is tour manager in my current role as tour manager. I've done production management
of course.
In the
Susie,
past.
Susie, what's your actual title?
I'd be a production manager more, dominantly production manager, yeah. Yeah, but
the different kinds of people that you've been on the road with. I mean, you've like you know, Arcade Fire is one where there would be a lot of other females
yes.
on the road with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas maybe
yeah.
Kaiser Chiefs or something. There's just we're the only non-male.
I was for the Kaiser Chiefs. I was and Arcade Fire is a lot more women as more females in the band and a lot more. The tour manager was a female, and I suppose it goes from tour to tour as to the ratio of females and males. But I think there's a lot more women on the road currently than there used to be. It's not so male dominated.
Right. And what did you have to do? Just to give an example then of Arcade Fire. What were you doing with them? Like just all over Europe?
All over Europe, yeah. Just running the office daily, schedules, making sure everyone got to where they were going, hotels, buses, transport, food, riders.
So you're like the tour office on a daily basis.
Yeah,
you get stuff
exactly.
done, there's hotels, there's travels. And you, a tour manager, is more kind of like budgets and deals with artists. And you're more of a boss, Paddy. Is that it?
Let's say the go-to guy for all of the touring activities of the band, yeah.
Right, so production managers and tour managers, the difference, a lot of it is a daily difference.
Yeah, and the production manager would be more technical, would make sure that the technical setup is right for the
By the way, have you seen Reflector, the movie? There's an Arcade Fire
movie.
Yeah,
that's right. It's in the lighthouse at the moment.
Are you in it?
Yeah. No. This was a few years back now. Yeah, sorry.
Right.
Yeah, my television debut can wait.
All right, because the most recent Arcade Fire stuff, like, I mean, besides the O2 and besides the Electric Picnic not so long ago, they played, the last one was up in Marley Park. And
that's
like, that
right,
was very
yeah.
different. All
yeah.
this kind of.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's a big show thing,
yeah,
you know?
But yeah. I mean, I think every band that goes on the road now has to take a big show with them to up their game and to make their show stand out and to make people want to buy their album or buy their videos now. And
because you obviously didn't see Van at the O2 recently. He huddles around like he's still in Ronnie Scott's, which is good, by the way, don't get me wrong. Okay, so look, how did you become an event producer, by the way?
I started, used to work in Real Good Studios, and then I moved to Hot Press Magazine and started working more on the live events with Hot Press. And then from there, I met a friend of mine, Caroline Henry, who brought me along with
her. The
great
Caroline Henry.
Great Caroline Henry. Took me under her wing, so to say, and brought me over to MCD, who were starting back then. It was Witness Festival and Creamfields Festival. So I started working with her on those, and I suppose I just stuck with them, and I worked with MCD for 13, 14 years, just every year doing the same festivals and meeting people, and yeah, it was fantastic, amazing experience.
And now
yeah.
you have a company with Duchess.
Yes, Blackbird Event
Indeed.
Management. Yeah, we set that up in 2010. I suppose we were born from this, from what we did, was working on festivals together.
Yeah.
So we're together a couple of years since 2010, I think. Yeah, so it's
okay.
Going
this
well.
Is all very well, but I'm going to go to Patty now. When I come back to you, I want a story. Right? I want some kind of rock and roll on the road story. It doesn't have to be you, it can be somebody else. Patty, like, you know, you've been rock and roll managing and production manager, as you say, for about 30 years or so. You started with Pat Egan, did you?
I did start with Pat Egan after I left college. Myself and my colleague at the time was Noel McHale, who's now a senior booker for MCD.
Indeed.
And we booked the major, major artists in the country now. I was out there as Pat's promoter representative on the road with artists, a lot of trad stuff, Mary Black, Dolores Keane, Davy Spillane, all back in the day.
Yeah.
Who were,
and of course, Pat was around with lots of things in the 60s,
big,
and that he was like a Paddington
huge,
sound seller in Nassau
name,
Street.
And he's got
obviously.
A massive event on at the weekend with Phil Coulter and 10cc.
That's right.
And Air Supply,
yeah.
You know, he's one of the, you know, perennial standout figures in the industry for,
yeah.
you know, forever.
Bringing things like Hawkwind and Eric
Absolutely.
Clapton to the stadium.
And Billy Connolly and
yeah,
all of those.
Exactly, and a million other things as well. Okay, now, like, a common perception, misperception, of the job might be that you're constantly mixing with celebs. Is it more realistic to say that if you even are, you're really kind of babysitting them, daddying them, mummying them?
Absolutely, that is the case. If, let's say, some celebrity does come in to visit your artist or whatever, it's literally try and do so as quickly, efficiently and as quietly as possible in order to avoid any sort of, avoid detection by anybody else. So that's the way it goes down. Realistically, you know, a famous actor or actress or other musician or whatever knocks on the door and you go, how you doing? I want to see so-and-so. Fine, shake hands, in the door. Quick shake hands, quick photograph, gone.
Right. What yeah. about you, Susie? I've given you 3 minutes. Any stories?
I still can't think of any that I'm allowed to say on air, really.
Well, what about any that might have occurred? I mean, I do know once that I had an amazing thing, which I certainly couldn't say on this programme, with James Brown. I don't know if it was Witness or Oxygen, or one of them backstage near the toilets. He was the funniest guy. You have a James Brown story, I believe. I'm going to have to feed you these things.
There you go, yeah. It was Oxygen Festival, yeah.
Now that must be more so.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think he played twice, actually, but one of the years I got stuck in a small lift with him and his assistant where the power just happened to go down while we were mid-floor, and it was a very, very small lift. I mean, it was smaller and getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and I had to radio for help very quietly so that he wouldn't get too alarmed at my panic of being stuck in a lift.
And small talk, did it work?
It was hard not to make eye contact, and you're trying to look at your feet and you're really trying just to will the
By
lift
the way,
to
speaking
work.
Of making eye contact, I mean, a friend of mine worked with Prince in London, and like, I know a guy who was sacked for making eye contact with Prince. You know, like, when he came out to do his rehearsal in the afternoon, and that there's an awful lot of major stipulations and things. So riders on contracts, which is the thing that people ask for backstage, that they want to be there at the venue when they play a gig. Have you come across some funny ones?
the best ever has to be Joss Green's one for Iggy and the Stooges on their world tour, which actually was sent out to every major promoter in the world.
Don't tell me, is that the Seven Dwarfs? No,
it's basically it's Iggy and the Stooges, all the tech, looking for, in Iggy's dressing room, he wanted a Bob Hope impersonator telling Bob Hope stories, etc., in the dressing room. Very, very bizarre stuff. I'm sure it's available online, but it's the most hilarious piece of work.
The Foo Fighters have a good
A good send-up of that,
The Foo Fighters have one for where they want noodles, 6 cups of noodles, but only on a Wednesday.
Yeah, some people stipulate different riders for different days, because when you're travelling every day and you're asking for the same thing every day, your life can get very boring and tiring. So that's why people change things to say, maybe we'll have chicken on a Monday and beef on a Tuesday, so that they're not having chicken every single day. So I do understand why people would stipulate different things.
I remember people saying that, like, Prince is bonkers, you know, like, and like, he wanted a doctor with a vitamin B12 shot at every single gig backstage and all that. But he also wanted a plate of food covered with cling film. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong? I don't know, actually.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, the vitamin B12 shot's an expensive thing.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Is that expensive?
Oh, yes.
Right, okay.
That's a few hundred quid, which you need to be budgeting for in advance.
So who pays for that? Yeah.
Absolutely. At no extra cost to the artiste.
Axl Rose wants a square melon backstage. I mean, the famous one is Van Halen, obviously, who want the brown M&Ms. And isn't it true that there's a reason for that, which is to make sure that people like you read the damn writers?
That's what I would have thought, that, I mean, most writers are pretty basic, but sometimes bands slip in the odd thing just to make sure, as a promoter rep, that you've read it.
That you've read it.
I had a band who asked for the presence of a dog in the venue, because one time they had been at a show where there was a dog
present.
And they loved it. Was it?
The
I
wedding
can't remember.
Present, yeah.
Really? It was the wedding.
Yeah, the presence of a dog at the sound check.
Yeah, that's right.
Was a stipulation.
I think one of the best ones is Mogwai, who demand a framed picture of Princess Leia backstage at every gig.
Amazing, amazing.
Pretty cool, I think.
But there's other ones as well, Dave. You know, a manager colleague of mine from the States put in, you know, on page 14 of a 16-page rider, congratulations, you've reached item number 147.
Right, exactly.
To claim your free $100 bill, please call this number.
Brilliant.
And two people in 10 years called him.
Wow.
So that proves they never got that
far. Never got that far.
Wow, that's amazing. I like that. That's the brown M&M's one.
Yeah.
Who's been the nicest person to work with from your... You have to say the High Kings now, I suppose, at the moment, do you?
They're absolutely super great professionals, great to work with. You know, I've been very, very lucky, and I think Susie and myself, what it is important to get across is job satisfaction doing what we do, and being in that environment where, you know, people come to our workplace with the preconceived notion that they're going to have a good time. All of that, you know, we're very, very thankful for that.
Actually,
you know?
Look, there's a text here, 51551, riders, which is the contract for backstage, what people need. Why do venues have to pay for food and drink for performers? No other profession demands to be fed by employers. Hey, rock and roll.
Yeah, I suppose it's part of the contract and part of the agreement as to what has been agreed between the band and the promoter, I guess.
Right.
Every contract for every show is different and every agreement is different. So I suppose it's what you agree, same as in a workplace. It's what you agree to work for or work with.
Susie, have you met a hero? And kind of, do you wobble or anything? Or is it, it's all professional?
No, it's all pretty professional. I think you have to remember that every single person is a normal person, and outside of the backstage life is where the public would meet their heroes. So working backstage, you have to be the person that doesn't get, excited when you see them, because that would be a bit odd. But
Because Paddy just mentioned something earlier on about his trip over in Buffalo and etc. and Chicago and all the rest of O'Hare Airport. From your point of view, you've gone to places where literally you were hermetically sealed the whole time and never saw one single bit of the actual place itself.
Yeah, Paddy and I were just talking about that. We played the music hall in Amsterdam.
Who were you with?
Oh, Kaiser Chiefs at the time. Wow. Yeah, and we arrived in the middle of the night by bus, and you drive into the venue, you drive in, and the door seals, and then you wake up in the morning and you get out of the bus and you're already in the venue, and you go inside and you do your day's work and you have food and the show happens, and then you shut the office down and you load all the equipment out, and many, many, many hours later you finally get to your bed, and which is in a bus, let me say, and you get back into the bus, and then you leave and then you drive to another city. But while we were in Amsterdam, my mum called to see how I was and how was everything going.
How's Amsterdam? Did you get to cycle around the place?
Yeah, and I was looking out the window at the snow going, I literally hadn't even touched my foot, hadn't even got outside the venue, and that was one day's work, you know. Yeah. So very often days like that would roll into each other and you might not see anything of any city, but then you might be lucky and get a day off somewhere and get to explore and look around.
So we're talking everything from technical production, logistics, travel, work permits, visas, guest list, riders, you know, because schedules on show days and kind of sound checks, load in, load out, etc., all the rest. That's a full day, a full week.
Full days, yeah, exactly, yeah. And then all the other stuff that gets thrown in as well.
And speaking of other stuff, it's not just rock and roll. I mean, the big tech guys from America for the, what do you call it, the thing that goes on, went on the RDS this year, the Founders?
Yeah, the Web Summit.
The Web Summit. You did the Founders part of it, you did Meteor Prize stuff, you did other stuff like, you did Obama in College Green.
Yeah.
Who supported Jedward that day, didn't he?
Yeah, that was produced by Caroline Downey. Yeah, that was a fantastic experience. Yeah, that was amazing. Amazing.
The crowd was a bit better than the crowd at third day at a festival, weren't they?
Slightly different.
Tell us about the festival stuff. Like, is there anything you don't want to do, Paddy? Was there anything, another bloody sinking in the mud?
I grew up with Oxygen and Witness and was involved from site builds to the finished product and all the rest over the years, the Electric Picnic as well. I'm a huge fan of Glastonbury. I've been to Glastonbury many, many times.
Yeah.
I love the vibe there. You know, it's a really, really special part of the world. I've seen some sensational performances there. But when the weather goes bad... Yeah. When the weather goes south, it's literally every man, woman and child for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally just, you know, people stabbing each other in the front. You know, things are getting that bad just to get some shelter or whatever. So what I tend to do nowadays is, in order to minimise any discomfort for the artist, just go in and out of the site on show day and not stick around.
And you might actually go to, if you actually went to a gig, you'd be going to a gig to go to a gig as opposed to be anything to do with working at it in some ways.
Yeah, I would always, certainly with Glastonbury, I'd always try and check out at least one other artist or whatever, whenever they're
performing. When your work is over.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, you've done a lot of travelling, the two of you, with your job. And do you enjoy it, or does it quickly get a bit wearing? I mean, are you glad to have had the last couple of years to have taken downtime?
Yeah, it's been nice. Nice to be at home. It's nice to have a balance as well. It's part and parcel of what you do is a lot of travel. And I suppose when you have holidays, people don't want to go to airports and get on planes to go on holidays. So that's the downside. I'm sure Paddy's sick of
the air travel airports thing. I have to say now, we fly with a national airline all the time. It's, we have a good relationship with them. There's new baggage rules whereby, artists aren't getting stung for massive excess baggage fares anymore. And this has only just come into law. So basically, the comfort, there are comforts there available. We can use of the lounges as frequent flyers and stuff like that. That's fine, dandy. But yeah, it's just another part of your day's work. I mean, you have to factor in X amount of hours travelling.
Okay, but therefore it's not an old person's game, is it? So, with all due respect to your wonderful youth that's sitting in front of you, I think there is a time and a place, is there, that you'll say, hold on a minute, lads?
Absolutely. I think I still have another decade left in these old bones,
Absolutely. What about you, Susie? I mean, are you trying to marry the two now? Are you getting back into the gig?
I suppose there's wisdom in years, So what Blackbird does is we take clients who maybe are at a level where they don't want to send people out on the road, but we would help them get there. We would help them find crew to get their bands out touring to a level that they're comfortable with and that they can afford, or put teams in places that would go on bigger tours, if they needed monitor engineers or sound engineers, that we'd be able to help find them the right people for the right jobs.
Because
a lot of bands don't know where to go when they've finally found a bit of success and a bit of money, and they don't know where to, where to invest as part of their tour, So
and of course the changes that happen as well, the electronic dance music thing, it changes things completely, but with equipment and all that.
There's been a lot of changes in the last 10 years. I mean, even going back as far as Creamfields and all that, dance music has been around for a long time, but certainly the elements of screens and pyro and all that sort of stuff is up to level, which is fantastic as well because it brings a new element to,
indeed. Well, listen, guys, look, May the Road literally
may it rise with you,
indeed, on the riser. Listen, good luck, Susie Shorten. Thanks a million for talking to us, and also Paddy McPoland as well. And will you be at the Electric Picnic, or will you be doing anything like that?
I can't be at the Electric Picnic this year. I'm going to be away again. But just to all the listeners, next time they go to a live gig, spare a thought for the people backstage who've been there since early morning and will be there late into the night.
Beer
to make
bellies
sure they have
and
a
black
good
t-shirts.
Night. That's the one.
Okay, up the ramps.